Well, Father, we get into the point, happy are you who weep now, you shall laugh.
Yes, here perhaps the paradox of the Beatitudes comes out most strikingly. Happy are you who cry, happy are you who weep now, you shall laugh. And alas, to move down to the corresponding curse again, for you who laugh now, you shall mourn and weep. Now, those who are weeping, who are mourning, are humanly speaking, unhappy. There's a sometimes in the other cultures, mourning is expressed more vehemently than it is in the United States. I recall when I was in India and went to a funeral, the women were literally howling their grief, something like it must have been at the tomb of Lazarus when our Lord arrived, and it says in that famous shortest sentence of sacred scripture, Jesus wept. And our Lord was not just sniffing a little bit, as we might when we get touched at something emotional. I'm sure it was a healthy cry, healthy weeping that he himself engaged in. And he wept one other time, not over his friend Lazarus, but over his city, Jerusalem, as we remember. Now, anything that Jesus did, said, or suffered, God did, said, or suffered. What we have before us there is the spectacle of God himself weeping. Now, don't make a meditation on that if you're not ready to go into some very, very deep truths, because God weeping over his friend, over his city, over us, finally, is one of the most striking and poignant truths that sacred scripture has to communicate to us. Therefore, when the weeping are termed happy, those who are weeping now, they are also termed happy because they are participating with something which God himself also suffered and went through. Our own sufferings, our own passion, our own crosses are also sources of happiness because Christ is there. That's where you find him. Our Lord did not come to this world to take away suffering, to take away tears, but to fill suffering and to fill tears with meaning, to take them into his own heart and make them part and parcel of his own divine experience. So, imagine the priest at Mass saying, holding up the host and saying, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sufferings of the world." I'd say, "Well, who took away the sufferings of the world? They're still there. In fact, they've even increased. He takes away not the sufferings of the world, but the sins of the world, and takes suffering and makes it his own. The suffering is still there, but Christ takes it and claims it. He says, this is what tears your hearts out. This is what people grieve over when their loved ones die, cruelty, injustice, hunger, oppression, things you cry about. He says, those are mine now. I'm taking suffering as my possession. It doesn't belong to you anymore. I have made it mine. And when you suffer and when you cry with me and for me, I will be there and you will be participating in my suffering and my tears. And they will be the tears and the suffering, finally the cross, through which the resurrection and glorious happiness that we're still waiting for will be realized."
So all the suffering in our life with this attitude can have tremendous meaning.
Yes, that's the whole difference between Christianity and the other great world religions. Is you try in Buddhism, for example, to get away from suffering. You have these great evils in the world that everything is suffering, and these four noble truths: everything is suffering, and the cause of suffering is desire. The way to get rid of suffering is to get rid of desire. And then there's an eightfold path showing how to dislodge yourself from the world of human suffering, to become immune to it so it doesn't touch you anymore. And there's a method for doing that. And it's a method that can be successful. But woe to those who are successful, our Lord would say, because in suffering, properly carried, he has put his very heart. That's the privileged place of meeting our Lord. And the sufferings of this world have become precious possessions, not to speak lightly of them by any means. All of us know what it feels like to be in the dentist's chair, or when finally a member of our own family is taken by our Lord, or when something cruel happens, or when something like the Oklahoma City bomb occurs and you see these little children mercilessly crushed by this building collapsing upon them, a terrorist who shows no signs of repentance, all those sorts of things. This is the message Christianity has to offer, which no other religion does. This suffering has been transformed. Happy are you who weep now. You shall laugh. Take the tears and don't sentimentalize it. We're not speaking about sentimentality at all. Sentimentality, as someone recently said, is love without sacrifice. Just love that takes the easy road and is very nice, very sweet, very kind when the going is good, but when things get really tough, it falters. No, these tears are tears that come from encounter with the serious crosses of life, sickness, terminal illness, accidents, as I said, and just the whole futility, finally, of our life here below when it is not used as a means to get to heaven. It just doesn't work. And the world is caught up in this more than ever before. The one world, the attempt to use our technology and our computers, the internet and everything is going to finally be technically solved. Yeah. We know that isn't going to happen. Our Christianity teaches us that it doesn't work. It's been tried before. This is going to be a new potentialization of what has been tried before with our technical prowess. But it's also not going to work. It's not to be taken lightly. And you, those who have been at the bedside of those of people, for example, a few months ago I was in Brasilia in the hospital visiting a member of our community who was having an operation, and I was in the elevator going up, and a man saw that I was a priest. He came over to me and said, "Would you please come to visit my friend who was dying of AIDS?" And this was a woman who had apparently contracted AIDS from her husband, quite innocently. And she was dying. And in Brazil, it's sometimes difficult in the hospitals to keep all of the religious fanatics out. And she, there with this body wasted away by this terrible disease, skin and bones, and all she could do was just respond by squeezing my finger when I asked her some questions. But it turned out that she had been accosted by some of these extreme sects down there who were trying to bring her away from her Catholic faith. And I'd caught her just shortly, very briefly before her death, and she was able to make a confession by me asking her questions, and she squeezing once for yes and twice for no. She couldn't speak at all. But I looked at this body wasted away, and I said, What terrible helplessness. And yet, inside of that body is a soul that's going to meet God. And we have to encounter suffering in its seriousness. It's nothing to be taken lightly. And it's easy to be sort of romantic about suffering. And some of the saints speak about it as something they learn to desire. But they learn to desire it by very high mystical graces that they have received. They have grown so deep into the mystery of charity, and their faith has been so illumined by the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of wisdom and of intellect and of science, that they see how suffering makes people happy, how suffering purifies, how precious it is in the sight of God. So they're going after it as a beautiful, wonderful thing. You know, they're not There's no masochism in it. You know, it is possible, and I've seen it happen, for people to relish suffering in an unnatural way when it's something psychologically wrong with them. This is not what is meant at all. It's a realistic, objective recognition that suffering simply is the thing that God has taken closest to His heart. It's our most privileged moment when we are taken into it, and we must pray for this grace of one day desiring it as they do, not being afraid of it, having respect, and not being presumptuous about our ability now to endure terrible mortifications. We're not able to do that. I'm not able to do it.
Without the grace of God.
Without the grace of God.
Yeah, that's right.
But we are, with our faith, able to recognize that it is so, that suffering is not the great, horrible demon that the world is running away from. The demon is the demon. The devil is the devil. But suffering isn't the devil.
That's why we're entering into this area of euthanasia now. It's an epidemic, and as people don't want to suffer in their old age, they would rather have their life taken away. And this is something we have to really precaution people with. They're losing at the very critical time of their life. This is when they're letting go.
Right. And the final of these four Beatitudes goes all the way with that, because it says, happy are you when people hate you, drive you out, abuse you, denounce your name as criminal on account of the Son of Man. This is really, for us human beings, the worst suffering of all, is to be deprived of our good name, and a bit to be treated like dirt, for people to question your intentions, to say, you know, he's a bad person, he's a wicked man. Your human dignity itself is being impugned, and to say that is happiness, to be so detached from the goods of this world that even your good name is something that you are willing to renounce for the Son of Man. Rejoice when that day comes, and listen to what it says, dance for joy, for then your reward will be great in heaven. Mm-hmm. It won't just be that you'll have a reward, but it will be a terrific reward. This was the way their ancestors treated the prophets, and the prophets are the greatest of all in the Old Testament. So,
yeah, that is the sign of contradiction, because one looks at their reputation. That is the hardest thing, to be accused of something you didn't do, and also to, you know, to lose your good name.
But listen to the corresponding curse. Alas for you when the world speaks well of you. This was the way their ancestors treated the false prophets. In other words, be careful.
You're
when
right.
When the people are, when the applause is coming, and the you're getting high ratings, as it were,